Y'all got it? If you got it, say, got it. Sweet! Okay, we're going to start things in verse 5, and we're going to read all the way to verse 6. Not that much. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for this time that we've just had to worship you, to just pour out our hearts before you and sing that you are our majesty, that your grace has found us just as we are, Lord, and it's by your grace that we are free, that we are loved by you, even though we don't deserve your love, and that we live. It's by your mercy and your grace that we live each day. So, Lord, we want to get to know you more as we study your word. We want to get to know the people that are talked about in your word more as we study this series. And so we ask that you would fill us all with your spirit. Please speak through me to your people. I pray that each word would not be my own, Lord, but that it would be all from you to our hearts, and that you would just give us a hunger for it, Lord, that we wouldn't distract one another, that we wouldn't be distracted by our own minds or by any sounds outside or anywhere else, Lord, but that we would fully focus on what you have for us, using this as an opportunity to serve you and to worship you. We give you this time, and we pray all this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. So we're moving through our series, Catalysts. We're looking at all of the heroes of faith that are... Josh, what are you doing? What are you doing? Okay. But in this series, what we're doing is we're looking at all of the heroes of faith that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. This is sometimes called the Hall of Faith. I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard that. And these are people that were used by God to do huge things, to take huge leaps of faith. And what we see in most cases is that their acts of faith started either important movements or they were essential in the continuation of movements that were very important at those times in history where they were. And last week we looked at Abel. Yes, Abel. How he had the faith to bring God an offering that he truly felt God deserved, and it was a time when literally no one else was doing it. You could say that Abel was the original hipster worship leader, because he was... Yeah, get it? Okay. But unfortunately, he wasn't able to live much longer.
He was able.
Buckle up. We've got jokes left and right, people. And he wasn't able to live much longer because his brother Cain killed him. Really, I mean, it's a really tragic account. When you think about it, it's pretty intense. And that took place in chapter 4 of Genesis. That's the account of Cain and Abel. And tonight we're looking at someone who's mentioned in the chapter right after. It's about 6 generations from Adam. And this person is legendary. Seriously, so legendary. He is the great, 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 great nephew of Abel, if I got that right. Sometimes those confuse me, so if you want to double check it after the service, you're welcome.
No, you're able to make it up.
No, it's not made up. I'm pretty sure I got it right, but you can check it after service, not right now. Yeah, I got that. That was a good one. Nice. But here's who the legend is. It's Enoch. Enoch is, seriously, I think he's the type of guy that people would have had all these kind of crazy stories. Like, hey, did you hear about Enoch? He can wear no sandals all day long and his feet won't even get dirty. And then someone's all, I heard that he glows in the dark. What? And somebody's like, I saw him levitate once. He went like a whole foot off the ground. And none of these would be true. They're not true at all. So don't think that's true. But I really think this is someone that people would have been talking about because he's truly, truly legendary. And you might be wondering, what's the big deal about Enoch? And it's such a good question. And here's the big deal. He did not die. Seriously, he didn't die. Listen to how he is described in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Enoch, he lived 65 years. He had a son named Methuselah. After that, after he had Methuselah, or his wife had Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. He had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I love the way they word that. He just one day was not. He was before that, but then he was not. And that's it. Here's the story about Enoch. One day he was here, and one day he was not. It's crazy. He didn't experience death. And this is a really unique experience. It only happened, don't say it if you know who it is. It only happened to one other person in the Bible. Now, if you know who it is, who is it? This is like Sunday school ultimate showdown. If you pronounce it right, you get double credit. I think I saw Eden stand first. Go, Eden. Nope. There's an assumption possibly, but no. The rumors. Yeah, Cameron?
Elijah.
Yes, Elijah.
Elisha.
No, not Elisha. That's why he gets double points for correct pronunciation. I combined it. Pernect. You pernected it. But this is crazy. It's a very unique experience. Elijah, Cameron, well, does anybody know how Elijah was taken up? Chariot of fire. Yes, chariots of fire. Gabe, go for it. Is that it? You just raising your hand to give a thumbs up. Awesome. But both of these guys, Enoch and Elijah, they were seriously legends. There's, you know, there's theories of what they could be, like what their significance is and throughout all of eternity. We don't know for sure. A lot of those are just guesses. But Enoch, he's the only one of these two that's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, specifically for his faith. So tonight we're going to look at what is so significant about the faith of Enoch. He's a guy who literally is gone quicker than he is introduced in the Bible, yet for some reason the writer of Hebrews wants us to learn something very specific from the life of Enoch, from the faith of Enoch. And so the first thing that we have to do is get a feel for what's going on in this time, which is kind of tricky. We have to sort of look ahead and make assumptions of what's going on because we don't know precisely what's going on. But what's interesting about Genesis 5, the chapter where Enoch is mentioned, is that we're given this list of people who seem very godly. They're giving their children godly names, names like Praise God, Praise of God. They're living these long, happy lives, and they seem to be blessed by God. But at the end of this little family tree, just a couple generations after Enoch, God literally has to flood the population of the world at that time because there is so much evil and wickedness. You guys know the story. Who am I talking about? Noah. Yeah, nailed it. So I think that it's safe for us to assume that Enoch was living in a time where the world that he was living in, the culture that he was living in, was making a turn for the worst. Maybe not there yet currently, he's a few hundred years off of Noah, but making a turn for the worst. Grace, what's your question? Oh, cool. Genesis 5 gives us a list of very godly generations, but we cannot assume that they were the norm at this time. This is a very godly line that is coming directly from Seth, not from Cain, who is also having kids, also populating the world at that time. It's literally impossible since just a few generations later, the whole world is populated with wicked people. So basically, chapter 5 lists a bunch of weirdos, these descendants from Seth that weren't living in wickedness, they weren't chasing after evil when everyone else that was growing at that time was doing that. So, very unique person, very unique time, but we also get this idea that Enoch could have been the first ever prophet speaking God's message to the world. In Jude verse 14, Jude refers to him as a prophet, refers to Enoch as a prophet. So Enoch, he wasn't only focused on his own spiritual growth, doing his thing and making sure that he's growing in his relationship with God, but he was also actively speaking out against the culture's rush toward wickedness. He was actively taking a stand for what was right. Maybe when it seemed like the only people who were doing it were literally his parents and grandparents and great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. But this is still not why we're looking at the faith of Enoch. These are great things for us to know about him, but it's not the reason that the writer of Hebrews brings us to Enoch. And here's why we're looking at the faith of Enoch. Because Enoch's faith was marked by endurance in his walk with God. That's Enoch right there. Just kidding. Huh? What'd you say? Don't you just feel like that's what he looked like? Just enduring. I also think this is what my father will look like in about 20 years. Just cruising in front of a graffiti. So we're looking at Enoch because he had a faith that endured. And we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at basically what it means to have a faith that endures, and also looking at what it takes for us to have a faith that endures so that we can apply it to our lives today. So we're going to look at 3 points today. First, we're going to look at belief. Second, consistency. And then third, endurance. The ingredients to completing a marathon. So I've been told that. I don't know if that's true, but if you believe you can, and then if you commit, if you're consistent, and then if you endure, you'll do it. Right, Terry? Okay, I believe it. So first point, the first step to a faith that is marked by endurance is belief. We see this in the passage that we opened up with, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. The writer says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him." This verse is telling us that an enduring faith is composed of two types of belief, or belief in two things. There's two things that we've got to believe in order to have this enduring faith that Enoch displayed so beautifully. You could literally say he displayed it perfectly. And you can't say that about many people in the Bible. That's a rare thing to say about a human being in the Bible. But the first thing that we need to believe is that God is real. We need to believe that God is real. This is how the writer says it. We need to believe that he is. We need to believe that he's a God who's real, who's alive, and who's actively speaking to us, interacting with the human race day by day. A few months ago in our Essential series, we looked at why we can believe that God is, and then also why we can believe in the way that the Bible describes who God is, kind of the characteristics of God, why we can believe those. And I don't have the time to go over all of that right now because it's a lot of stuff. We spent like kind of 3 weeks on it. But I highly encourage you to occasionally go back and check out, if you took notes, check out your notes for that teaching, or if you want to listen to them online, go to thrivejh.com and check out that teaching, just to always be building that faith, that genuine, honest belief that God is real and in the characteristics of God as well. But second, along with believing that he is real, that he is, we also need to believe that he rewards those who seek him. We don't seek God for no reason. Do you guys know that? We seek him because there's a very specific reward that we receive for him. It's not money, and it's not fame, and it's not like getting taller and buff, though we might like to think that. But the reward, no, here's what the reward is. It's very important. The reward is himself. When we seek God, we find God. James 4 verse 8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." We need to believe that God is real, but we also need to believe that we have access to him. These are essential. If we do not believe these things, we will not have the faith that Enoch had. We will not have faith that is enduring. We will not have faith that is marked by an endurance in our walk with God. We need to believe that he is, always, always was, and always will be, and that we have access to him when we seek him. But second, We need that belief, but we also need consistency. We need consistency in our relationship with God. Notice that verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, those who diligently seek after him. So where do athletes at in the room playing sports? You sporters. And if you're not, yeah, just sit on your hand. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm not an athlete, and I never was, and I most likely never will be in the future. But you guys know firsthand that in order to get better at a sport, you need to be consistent. Musicians know this too. This is something I can relate to. I think the rule of thumb when I was growing up, and it probably still is that to get better at an instrument, you need to be practicing 30 minutes a day.
Oh,
my goodness. So much I could be doing in those 30 minutes. Painstaking. That's why I could never learn the piano, because you actually have to practice. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. But Enoch, he was diligent and he was consistent in his walk with God. Enoch was diligent and consistent in his walk with God. Jesus introduced us to this idea that is kind of strange, but it's very important. This idea that we need to daily surrender in our relationship with God. Daily. Every single day. In Luke 9, verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, you need to deny yourself and take up your cross daily to follow me. Jesus shows that following God is not just something you say when you were a little kid at that like high chair conversion. You're like, I don't like broccoli. And your mom was like, you need Jesus. You're like, oh, yeah, I do. Wow. Good point, Mom. No, but this is the truth. Listen to what Jesus is saying. That your relationship with God, that day-to-day growth, is not something that is just triggered by something you said a long time ago. It's not something that is just kicked into place and therefore will continue and endure because of a prayer that you prayed or a mindset that you once had. Yes, you are saved. Faith is there, and faith is what saves us through the power of Jesus Christ. But we don't have that enduring walk with God that is growing day by day that marked the life of Enoch. It's not even once a week. It's not like a once a week refresh on Sunday mornings. No, it's day by day, sometimes multiple times a day where we have to say, oh man, things got off track. My mind got here. I got focused on that. I got held up here, and you have to just surrender afresh to Jesus. This is something we need to do. We need to daily bring ourselves back onto track to seeking after God. Daily. Something we need to do daily. So we need that belief. We need this consistency. Not just assuming that because we said something then or because we had a really great camp experience that it locks us in on this track. No, we have to constantly be getting ourselves back into the mindset of seeking after our Lord and Savior, Jesus. But then last but not least, the thing that really sets Enoch apart is his endurance. Once we have the belief, and then we have that consistency, we need our faith to endure. We need a faith that endures. This is what sets Enoch apart. After his son was born, he patiently maintained a consistent walk with God for 300 years. 300 years, literally 300 years. It's not like the writers were like, had no sense of time back then, and they were like, oh, a day is like 100 years. Oh, it's crazy. These guys are 900. No, they literally were living that long. There's so many different theories, but that's how it was at that time. So we need a faith that endures, something like Enoch's that can go on consistently for 300 years. Endurance is such an interesting word. It's something that I don't dig. Like, in CrossFit, you apparently need endurance, and that is, like, my worst thing, and so I'm not good at it. But here's what endurance is. Endurance is the ability or strength to continue or last. So it's the ability to keep at what you're keeping at, especially despite fatigue or stress. Ooh. Oh, that's so, like, so necessary in the time that we live in. Everybody's stressed out, right? Everybody's so stressed. Like, that's like the anthem. We're stressed out. so stressed. Oh my goodness! I have so much school. I'm stressed. Ah, there's too many YouTube videos to watch. But we get stressed. We get stressed out. But we need, even in the midst of that, we need endurance. We need relationships with God that are marked by endurance. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I don't think you guys will think it's a limb, to assume that you guys are old enough to start realizing that it's not always easy to be a Christian. It's not always easy to continue walking after the Lord and seeking Him daily. It's not always fun to seek God. That's the reality of it. When others around us are seeking fame and, like, money, I don't know if that's a thing in junior high. Some junior highs are like, I'm capitalizing on candy. I buy candy at Costco and then I sell it for $3. That's like a real thing, right? That happened when I was in junior high, where like a kid shows up and he's all, hey, I got this box of Reese's. You want to buy one for $3? And you're like, oh, yeah, I do. Wow. But when people are seeking after these things, fame, romance, or just sinful satisfaction, we need to realize that it's not always a piece of cake. It's not always fun to seek after God. But this is just proof. It's even more proof that this world needs Christians with faith that endures. The world needs Christians that are seeking after Jesus consistently, patiently, and enduring in that seeking. We need the faith to say that we're going to seek after God every day, no matter what. And yes, we'll mess up. We're not perfect. A lot of us aren't going to be like Enoch. That's the fact of the matter. We'll make mistakes. But what matters most is that the next day we start afresh. And we bask in the grace of the Lord, receive His mercy in our lives, and we start afresh seeking after God that day, that morning, that evening, whenever it is. We need to do it. This sounds so funny. I love this series so far, because when we say like catalyst, people taking leaps of faith, you think that it's going to be like, I don't know, you think that it's going to be people like moving mountains? Oh, I believe it, it'll move. And we'll get to things that are very intense and like huge things, people taking on giants and stuff like that, walking around walls and they're falling. But this is where it starts. It starts with worshiping God in the way that you think He is worthy, like Abel did, even when no one else was doing it. It starts with getting a consistent walk and relationship with God, not just letting the prayers that you've said in the past sustain you, but choosing to grow and seek after God and strive in your relationship with Him, but for that to endure, to say, no matter what the people around me are doing, no matter what I want to do deep down inside in my fleshly desires, I'm going to choose to seek after Jesus day by day, week by week, month by month. This is so essential. Without this enduring walk with God, what we end up with is just a bunch of immature Christians. And yes, they're valuable in the world, but they're not as valuable as someone like Enoch. They're not as valuable as someone like Noah, as someone like Abel. Yes, it's essential for them to be there, and we're thankful for them. But we need to be Christians with relationships that are enduring with God. Not just letting it rest. Yes, we're saved and that's great. But desiring the growth, having that hunger and thirst for God and being driven by that every single day, every single night, every week, every month. It's essential and it's where it starts. We're not going to take these huge leaps of faith to take on giants and to walk around cities and like have them crumble to pieces, which sounds so intense. We're not going to have the faith to do that if we aren't first faithful in our worship and faithful in our walk with God. It's essential. We need it in our lives, and it's where it starts. So we need to learn from this. We need to apply it to our lives. And I think every Christian, as long as you're a human, your heart is beating and your flesh is continuing, this is something you're going to battle with, and it's something we need to be aware of. So let's pray and ask God to give us that faith that is marked by an endurance to seek after and walk with God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for you. We're so thankful to be part of your family, and we are so thankful for grace, Lord. As we're going through the Galatians series, Lord, we know that by you, we are saved. We don't have to live by the law. We don't have to do this. We don't have to do that. Instead, it's a privilege to know you. It's a privilege to serve you. It's a privilege to grow deeper in you. So, Lord, we want to be Christians that hunger and thirst for you. We want to be Christians that are consistent in our surrender, in our devotion, in our service to you. And we want that consistency to endure. We pray that we would get into habits of seeking after you, Lord, that they would be hard for us to break, that we would feel weird when we haven't set apart time to surrender and seek your face. Lord, we want to be like Enoch. We want to be someone who is standing up for what is right when the world seems to be making a turn for the worst. We want to be people like Abel who are worshiping you in a way that you truly deserve, even when it might feel weird or awkward, or we might feel out of place for doing it. So Lord, we pray that our faith would start to grow and take root in these ways, Lord. Let us be worshipers of you that have no shame, have no fear of what people will think, and let us seek after you in a way that is not tempted by the world, or not swayed by the world around us and led astray by what other people are doing, but a faith that walks with you step by step, day by day, in this world that we live in. We pray that we would be Christians growing in that each and every day. Lord, we give you the rest of this night. We pray that you would be in our small groups, that you would equip the leaders to just direct godly conversation and equip each of us, Lord, to encourage one another, Lord. I pray that each person in here would bring encouragement and bring openness and be encouraged as well. We love you so much, and we pray all this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Go into your small groups. Talk about this. It's kind of a really, really deep topic. You could talk about this for days. So...